the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm banned just about everywhere you look. Bob, everywhere you look, I'm banned. The only place you can, seems like you can find, I suppose there are places you can find us, but folks, we are here every morning, CoachDaveLive.com. If you can't find us anyplace else, you can find us right here. YouTube's got me on a 10-day ban. Facebook, Facebook banned me this time. I'm not making this up. They banned me this time on something on a show or something I posted 8 months ago. I mean, it's unbelievable, isn't it? But we're all in kind of a transition. Everybody trying to figure out where to land, right? To Gab, to Parler, to all this kind of stuff. You know, I'll be honest with you, I'm almost done with all of it. And it's frustrating. I get on Facebook, I go down the same stories over and over, shadow banning going on. And for us to understand really where we are, you got to stop and think that this social media that we all become so dependent on and so many different places that you can get on, like I said, Parler, Gab, MeWe, all that, they ban the president of the United States. Hey, folks, listen. If they can ban the president of the United States, what are they going to do to you and me? What are they going to do to you and me? And so we have to be smart enough. We're used to that good, that old America, right? We're used to that old America, land of the free, home of the brave. We're used to that free speech. We're used to the left. See, the true liberal, not these folks we got flying around today, the true liberal was all about free speech. That's what they were about. Tune in, turn on, drop out, question authority. That was Dr. Timothy Leary. That was the left. That was the old, what we would call liberals. Folks, liberals aren't liberals anymore. They're not liberals anymore. Liberal means plentiful, without boundaries, liberal. And now we're seeing that liberalism, as Michael Savage would say, is a mental disorder. And it's morphed its way into socialism and communism and into censorship and all those things that America used to stand against. And I just encourage myself every day when I get up that I'm over the target. If they're trying to shut us down, there's some. Why do they? It'd be like, you know, Cleveland Browns won last night, against the Steelers. It'd be like you're playing, the Cleveland Browns are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Steelers are allowed to huddle, but the Browns aren't allowed to. That's what's going on. They're during the course of the game, the Browns run a play, and when the play's over, the referees come in and say, no, you guys can't get together. You're not allowed to get together. And the Steelers get over on the other side of the ball, and they all get in the huddle. And they call plays, and they make plans, and they come out, and they run a play. And here are the poor old Browns. They can't even communicate with each other. That's what's going on. And it's the Psalm 2 battle, right? The kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. That is playing out right in front of us. We shouldn't be shocked or surprised by anything that's going on. But the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is it that we are going to do? Let me stop right here real quick. Sheila Zelensky, the weekend vigilante, is joining us here this morning. If you got time right now, I'm going to give you just a couple minutes to let everybody know that Sheila's is on the show today. She's and hardly anybody liked Sheila. But I want to give everybody a chance to just notify somebody, say, tune in to Coach. Give them the link. Send them the link, www.coachdavelive.com. Just right now, go ahead. Email it out, text it out, whatever, because we're going to get into some spiritual warfare issues. I want to thank everybody who joined us last night. It was pretty amazing. We had an impromptu last-minute huddle, I guess you would call it. We had over 150 people that logged in with us last night. We took communion together, and it was a great time. And it is the calm before the storm. As I said, I got up this morning. First thing my wife asked me is, what's going on? And I said, honey, sorry, it's quiet. She said, "Oh no, oh no! How many of you filled your bathtubs with water? Huh? Fill your bathtubs with water. Keep them filled with water. Boy, there'd be nothing nothing worse than that." Let me. Mike Heath is running for governor of Maine. Mike Heath is formally announced that he's running for governor of Maine. Now, I want to stop anybody right now who would say, "What? Laugh about that?" What? Folks, Mike Heath was the James Dobson of Maine for 20-some years. He was the spiritual voice, the Christian spiritual voice in the state of Maine. And then he got unceremoniously got the left foot of fellowship about 15 years ago. I would assume it's been that long now, maybe longer. And Mike's returning. He's the knight on the white horse coming back to try to rescue Maine. And I told Mike, and I would tell anybody who, he does live in Mayberry, but he has homes his permanent homes in Maine. Still has a home in Maine. I try to tell everybody that running for office sometimes is not about winning. We would all love to win. We would all love to get in positions of authority. We'd love that. We need Christians in public office. But the greatest thing about running for public office is it gives you the opportunity to speak and expose the truth. And so keep Mike in your prayers, because he's going back and gone to war in Maine. So we support Mike. Another thing, listen, we are trying to get up after. Let me just catch my breath here a minute. Wasn't it just like a month from now, a year ago, that we started to hear about this coronavirus? Wasn't it like in late February, early March, we began to hear about that? That they were going to lock us down. We were going to stop the curve or whatever it was. They called it 7 days of lockdown. And well, I think about how many ministries, that me in particular, I'm sure with Sheila and others who, you know, part of what we do is on the road stuff, talking to people, encouraging people, waking people up. And all of a sudden, boom, that went nowhere. Well, I'm getting back into the game. In fact, in February, Michelle and I are going to go up with Denny Bryan and his huddle crew up in Iowa. And we are ready to be on the road again. I got a couple calls yesterday about coming to Wisconsin. Folks, you want to wake up your people, we are ready, willing, and available to come and help you do that, right? No, we don't charge a whole bunch of money. No, we don't make a lot of demands. We just come and we try to help build an army of people around you. And as we said over and over and over, it's important that we begin to have a downline. People that you can count in your neighborhood. Randy Lunsford. Randy, you guys are having one out there in Oklahoma. Not me, but Randy, some of the fruit of the trip to D.C. is some of these other guys are awakening now and they want to get involved. Is that right, Randy?
Yes, sir, Coach. Yes, sir. We're having a meeting here January, well, next Sunday, 2:00. So most of our Oklahoma people, they all know about it. So, you know, yeah, we're all in, Coach.
And others want to get all in, folks. We're in like times we ain't never seen. And I, you know, we can sit around and say, "Well, Coach, nobody knows what's going to be like next week. Nobody knows what it's going to be like in 4 months." No, nobody does. But we have to plan. We have to plan that it's going to what we're going to do and what we're going to say is going to be useful. So I just want to encourage you. If you want to have something in Clay, I'm thinking of Clay, whoever, you want to have an event in your area, we'll help you with it. We would love to come. So get a hold of us. Let's get something on the schedule and let's get moving that way. Jared, do we have Sheila? Has Sheila joined us here yet? No? Yes? No? Jared can't hear me. I'm sorry.
Hi, Dave.
You are here, Sheila. Awesome. Give me just a second. What time is it where you are, Sheila? Are you in Canada? Are you back in Canada?
I am in Canada, and it's about 4:59.
Oh, man, you're a sweetheart getting up with us. It's the calm before the storm anyway. Isn't that what they say, Sheila?
Yes, sir.
Okay, before I bring Sheila in here, folks, I got to play this. This was on my heart this morning. Spencer, if you could, pull up the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It actually popped up in my inbox today. And I just – hey, folks. If we're at war and in this spiritual war that we all claim that we are in, and we've been talking about the end times and all, you know, all that, you guys know what we're talking about here, right? Well, it's here. The war is here. And sadly, one of the things I want to discuss with Sheila, the church has lost its fighting spirit, or the church has lost the love or the gift of the supernatural. The church doesn't even understand the spiritual war that we're in, the Psalm 2 war, the kings of this earth conspiring against the Lord and his anointed. I just wanted to do a little bit of, blow a little bit of energy in here this morning with Lee Greenwood and the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Go ahead and play that for us there, Spencer, if you will.
Glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on.
Amen!
I have seen him in the watchfires of 100 circling camps. They have builded him an altar in the evening dews and damps. I have read his righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamps. His day is marching.
Yes, it
on.
Is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Yeah, that makes you
want to dance. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have read a fire. Burnished rose of steel, as he deal with my contemptors, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel.
Amen.
Since my God is marching on, he has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, glory,
your soul, huh? If that doesn't stir your soul, there's something wrong with you. Sheila, I feel, you can cut that off there, Spencer. I feel, I'm a little upset that you're with us today, Sheila, because I'm banned on Facebook. I'm banned on YouTube, and I wanted to blow the trumpet real loud that you were going to join us so that we could draw us a good crowd. We always have a good crowd, Sheila, but
I
all this banning and shadow banning, all this stuff is absolutely crazy. You're one of my favorites, Sheila. Folks, throw it up as a Sheldon. Spencer, real quickly. Sheila's website, The Weekend Vigilante. I met Sheila out in Steve Quayle's conference way back in 2012 or whatever. My wife, Sheila, still has your little prayer book. In fact, she gave it away. I was going to bring it down with me this morning about spiritual. What's the name of that book, Sheila? Help me out there.
It's Power Prayers,
yeah.
Warfare That Works.
Oh, my goodness.
Subtitle, yeah.
In fact, every time, Michelle prays that prayer over us by memory every time we lay our head down on our pillow. Sheila, welcome. Come on in. I'll shut up for a little bit. Sheila, what's going on here? What's going on in America? What's going on with the church? What's happened to the supernatural? Where are we? What do we do, Sheila?
Yeah, no pressure, part, huh? Dave. Well, first of all, you're right about the Stasi-level censorship. It's really stunning when a president, a sitting president of the United States, gets not just banned on Twitter and Facebook, but he's perma-blocked and perma-banned off Facebook.
Unbelievable.
And so that is absolutely unbelievable. You have a lot of things coalescing at the same time. I really believe that. You mentioned a really interesting scripture a bit ago there. And it really, I really believe we're kind of in a weird place. But also, it's been funny because the last month the Lord was really giving me this. He kept repeating the word iniquity, and I kept looking this word up. And, I think there's been a lot of defilement in our land. There's been a lot of disobedience. The fear of the Lord is gone, Dave. There's been a lot of violation of the statutes of the Lord. There's been a lot of idolatry. But iniquity was kind of an interesting word that I hadn't really given a lot of thought to, other than I remember where Jesus said, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity." And then he said something pretty profound. He said, I never knew you. And they said, well, didn't we do this? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we do, fill in the blank? And he said, depart. And I thought it was interesting the way this word in the Greek, iniquity, is you lawless one. And I thought, isn't that interesting? See, one of the things I really believe, Dave, is there's a whole faction of, sadly, again, this kind of word patriot got a little hijacked by, a few different factions. There's a couple of groups of, I would say, large groups of, a little bit weird, kind of going off the rails, a little bit new agey over there in the Q movement. It's a bit of a mixture. And I think the sad part is, Dave, that the church, for the most part, the mainstream media, and I've talked about this for over 10 years, the cotton candy, cappuccino, skinny jeans, trendy pastors, they're all shut down across North America. And what is stunning to me is that no one batted an eye that the church shut down completely. Mm. Nobody batted an eye. It was crickets. And I thought, it's interesting because people keep saying, well, Satan shut down the church. I'm not convinced of that. I truly believe that God has allowed the churches to shut down because the church has shown itself to be, non-essential. And it's amazing to me that China Direct, or AKA Walmart, is open. But, you've got the liquor stores open and Planned Parenthood never shut down, our favorite place, Dave, and not. And yet, nobody batted an eye that every church in the country closed down. And, we're on what is it? Is it 10? We're in 10, 11, so almost 12 months of a 14-day lockdown. See, I thought they said that we were going to be locked down until this virus got, wind, but not until we accepted communism. So it is really, really something else. And, I was in church, Dave, since the time I was 17. I got saved. I went to everything, Pentecostal, Baptist, evangelical, non-denominational, you name it, I was at the church. And practically my whole adult life, no one ever taught me one thing in those churches. No one talked about demons. I think one pastor told me, if you have a problem, you just say, "Get behind me, Satan." No one bothered telling me all the crazy stuff happening was demonic. And I did a lot of this church hopping. And that was it was really interesting because I didn't pay much attention to the devil, but he sure started paying attention to me. And it wasn't until I came across Win Worley quite by accident. And of course, there's no such thing as accidents, but I really started learning about spiritual warfare about 10 years ago. And I'm going to tell you something. There is no, as much as we are praying, we're wondering what's going on. We've got about 7 days before we see what happens. I mean, we're all stunned. There's no way that Beijing Biden could be at the helm, could he? I mean, this stumbling, bumbling, can't string a sentence together, can't fill a phone booth. I mean, his son is under federal indictment, investigation. There's just one thing after the other. And so, a lot of people are just, Sheila, we don't want to hear about doom and gloom. But I'll tell you something, Dave. I really, truly believe there's no political solution for a spiritual problem. And I believe this spiritual war that we see, we're in the war of our life. And I really believe that right now people, I mean, again, the church is shut down. How did we ever prove that we were irrelevant? So I want to make this very clear. Many people think that prayer warriors is a distinctive group. We're all supposed to be prayer warriors folks. James 5:17 says something very interesting. And Dave, you know what? Either this Bible's true or it's not.
Amen.
And one of the scriptures says in Philippians 4:6, be not anxious. So be not anxious about what? About the election, about who's going to be in. Yeah, that's right. Because it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in Amen. Every situation by prayer. And another thing. What are those things? By prayer and petition with thanksgiving and supplication, make your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends understanding, will guard your hearts. Folks, we got to meditate today on Philippians 4:6. You mentioned Psalm 2. Why did heathen rage? Look at what is going on. Folks, again, there's no political solution for a spiritual problem. We cannot put our trust in the arm of the flesh. What does Jeremiah 17:5 say? It says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh. So listen, we've got to turn to the Lord. We've got to cling to him. And I'm telling you, God is, when you're kind of down to nothing, I think God's up to something, Dave.
Yes, Sheila, you know, by the way, that's probably the longest I've ever allowed a guest to go without interrupting. Everybody on the show, they'll understand that, Sheila. But here's the truth, Sheila. We love to talk about prayer, don't we? Oh, everybody, we all got to pray. We got to pray for. But Sheila, Christians don't really even know how to pray, do they? A couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago, I don't remember now, we started talking on our show about imprecatory psalms. And I couldn't believe how many people had never heard, Christians now, who had never heard of imprecatory psalms. And we think that when we go into our prayer closets, we say, pray for the president. Sheila, they're nothing more than now I lay me down to sleep and protect Donald Trump. And right, isn't that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much? Sheila, we don't even know what that means.
Well, you know what else we don't know? And I was screaming out one day, like, Lord, why aren't you doing something about this? Why aren't you doing something? And he dropped this in my spirit very clearly. Why aren't you? And I went, wait, what? And I quit throwing this temper tantrum to listen again. I said, wait, what do you mean by that, Lord? And he said, didn't I give you the rod of authority? And then he took me to Exodus 14 and the scripture about Jesus even said greater things will we do because we go to the Father. So it took an onslaught from the pit of hell to make me understand that when hell came to my front door, I had to learn how to storm the enemy camp, lose civil war into the enemy camp. And prayer is when you are addressing God, and that's important. But warfare is different. Warfare is when you are addressing the enemy. But who's really doing that? We sing these cutesy songs in church. I went and stormed the enemy's camp. And I stopped one day. People were singing a song. I went in the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me.
Yeah, the devil stole. Yeah.
Right, and I stopped, and I said, Lord, who is even doing this? Yeah. And that's when I began to think, wow, this is why we're not getting our prayers answered, Coach, because we're asking God constantly to do something that he has given us the power and authority to do. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. You should have confidence in Jesus and in the power and authority that he demonstrated. And I really truly believe this. God, everybody's waiting on God. God is waiting on us.
Amen. Folks, I want to segue real quickly. Spencer, go to Deliverance Prayers. I put it in the link. Sheila, as I said, my wife, she loves that book. In fact, she gave it away. Folks, you want to get empowered. Sheila, well, she has some books, but she has even on her page a prayer page. Slide down through that a little bit for us, Spencer. Salvation, healing, deliverance, prayer for the 2020 presidential election, spirits operating behind chaos in our land. She has prayers written out for this, prayers against coronavirus, all kinds of stuff, and books and materials protesting abortion and Planned Parenthood, advanced warfare, prayer for President Donald Trump and America by Sheila Zelensky, prayer for the USA. Folks, these, as I said, these aren't now I lay me down to sleep prayers. These are warfare prayers. So Sheila, let's backtrack there because you said something to me that was really It went off in my spirit, right? There are prayers to the Lord, and there are warfare prayers, and those are not the same. Can you explain that?
Yeah, again, so God gave us the power and authority, and that's throughout both the Old and New Testament. And so we have, in fact, Jesus was stunned. In fact, it's the only scripture in the New Testament where Jesus was jaw-dropped. How would you folks like to jaw-drop Jesus? And he stopped and he said, wow, yeah. I haven't even seen anything like this in all of Israel. What was it? It was the centurion, Dave. And you know what it was? He said, listen, I'm a man of authority. You don't even have to come to my house. You tell that one to go, he goes. You tell that one to go, he goes. Listen, if we could ever get a vision of our authority, Satan knows what it is. The demons, remember Jesus I know, Paul I know, you clowns out there in the mega churches, I don't know you.
Amen.
So this is where it's really important for us to be exercising our authority. And I really believe if we could ever get a vision of our authority, it would be, boy, the church. I mean, we would turn the world upside down, not be, you know, non-essential.
Okay. So Sheila, what would be, if you could, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot, just on a question from out in left field. What are the elements, Sheila, of a prayer of spiritual warfare, as opposed to just a prayer to God, bless my family, give me a good day, protect everything I have? What would be some of the elements of a spiritual warfare?
Prayer? And first of all, I kind of think that prayer you just did is pretty nauseating. Because what happens is people, I hear things like this. Well, dear God, if you think kind of maybe that you ought to, if I could be healed, you know, maybe. I'm like, give me a break. I mean, that is so ridiculous. We have to have confidence when we pray. And the difference is, in fact, well, you just mentioned the prayer for the 2020 presidential election. This is a really good example. You know, it's amazing to me that we don't know that in the name of Jesus, we can bind and break the power of different kinds of what? Well, the weapons of our warfare are not. They're just not fleshly. They're mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. So what we can do in a spiritual battle is we can actually bind up the enemy. So there's a scripture that says whatever you bind, so we can bind and loose, Dave. And you can picture binding like binding up demons, throwing a big chain around them like a junkyard dog would be chained up. That's how you bind demons. We can bind bind and break the power of all spirits that operate behind this election chaos.
Amen.
All the powers
Amen.
Of darkness, the witchcraft spells, hexes, vexes, curses, rituals. I mean, it's okay for witches to do spells on the front page of New York Times, but the church isn't. The church is just, it's just really sad that the early church, I mean, this cotton candy church, Dave, it's over. Three hymns and a PowerPoint, nothing about repentance, baptism, water slides, a naked cowboy and disgusting Hillsong, putting people in a trance. Listen, the early church turned the world upside down. They didn't get on TV and have stately buildings and beg for money, but they'll tell you what they did do. They turned the world upside down. Because they had the power in Acts 2 of the Holy Ghost, that pneuma power. And so in the name of Jesus, we can command Satan himself in the name of Jesus, that not in our name, but in the name of Jesus, we can command him to loose everything that has to do with this election. Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And look at the battle. Like Paul even loosed blindness in Acts. And so it's so powerful when we pray like that.
Amen. George Lewis, got your hand up in the air. George, you want to come in, man? Good to hear from you, George. You got your hand. I assume that means you want to speak. Anybody throw your hand up in there. We'll let you jump in here right now. George, if you want to, floor is yours. No? Mark Trump, come on in, Mark.
Hey, I just want to, if y'all replay what Sheila just said, I'm going to steal Stephanie's line. What she talked about binding, what she talked about is exactly what the occult does. Okay? So they have copied, and there's dark energy, there's light energy. And this is synonymous. We have all the power to tap into, just like they do. They believe in curses. We should believe in breaking them.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
They believe in binding. we should believe in it too in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
great, great, great dialogue.
But we're not taught this, are we, Sheila? We're not taught this in our churches.
No. And the other thing that your caller just said that was a great comment is that Satan, here's the deal. Satan has no original thought of his own. He always just hijacks and counterfeits everything Amen. That God does. And so you're right. I mean, there's so many scriptures about what we're supposed to do. In fact, it's amazing to me. Listen, I'm going to say something that's going to really jaw drop your audience here. And are you ready for this? Nobody's going to believe I'm going to say a statement like this. So in the Word, this is interesting. We're supposed to pray for our enemies, but guess what? I don't pray for God's enemies.
Amen on that one. Amen on that.
So Hillary Clinton, you can either repent or go to the pits of hell, and I hope yeah. God takes you out. And that's how I pray for that devil.
Yeah, nothing personal. Mike, Sheila. No, nothing personal. I don't hate Hillary. But she's destructive to everything good, and she's the enemy of the cross. And if she's yeah. the Lord's enemy, she's my enemy.
And so is Bill Gates, that little eugenicist, that vaccine-pushing little disgusting puppet. You know, his father was head of Planned Parenthood. As you know, again, that is a disgusting hellhole that needs to get shut down. And we can do that in mm-hmm. warfare, binding, mm-hmm. loosing, you know, God, it says in Psalm 103:6, the Lord, he executes righteousness and justice,
Amen.
Judgment.
Amen.
And so we can pray things like binding up the Antichrist spirit that is operating, all these lying spirits, deceptive spirits, the spirit of the thief, the robber, the spirit of trying to steal this election, the spirit, we loose the spirit of truth. We can loose righteousness and justice. We ask, even like, remember Esther 5:2 talks about, in fact, one of my prayers, I said, Father God, may President Trump be granted favor by every judge and every legal representation in the highest court, not the courts on the steps of America, but the highest court in heaven.
Amen. Randy, come on in.
Coach, Sheila is so on this. When it becomes a personal revelation to us that we aren't waiting on God, that God is waiting on us, that is the mic drop, Coach. Whenever we get that, we will step into that authority that Sheila's talking about, that the Word of God gives us, and we will become the difference maker, and that's where we're going.
You know what, Randy? I just Stephanie just sent me something here, and a bell went off, and a ding, ding, ding went off. And here's what Stephanie said. The dark side, Sheila, does not have rules. They don't have any rules. We, the Christians, always look for what is fair. We're trying to take a knife to a gunfight. You understand, Sheila? We're playing
yeah.
by a different set of rules, and we've been taught not to be mean towards the enemies of God. We always have in the back of our mind, we have to get people saved, right? Right? Well, that's a blind spot. That's a blind spot that we have. Rachel, come on in.
Thank you. Good morning. First, Sheila, you're awesome. I can't tell you how many times I've been at work and you've started praying and I've just dropped to my knees and prayed along with you. And my question, I'm not even really sure how to state this, but with all the symbolisms and stuff that the occult uses, I'm wondering if you saw at the Capitol building, of course, there were people who infiltrated the Patriots, particularly the guy with the horns on his head. I know
right.
that was symbolic, and the fact that somebody was shot. So do you think that could have been some kind of witchcraft ritual?
Well, I can tell you one thing. DC itself is loaded with free. I do a lot of deep dives into Freemasonic, the symbolism, the highly charged. Well, you guys know yourself, the mounts that you went out to, Coach.
Yes.
There's a lot of charged objects. And so, of course, in D.C., it is absolutely ubiquitous. There is a plethora of high rituals, high occult days and high occult rituals that are done in D.C. Look at the obelisk just across in the Washington Monument. So mm-hmm. you've got a lot of, you know, people don't know this is the story of the 14 parts of Osiris. They think that all this pantheon of gods, the Roman and the Greek gods are just, you know, they're nice little stories, or it's just, you know, superficial, you know, just things from, oh, this is, you know, just, oh yeah, it's just fairy tales and stuff. But here's the thing, Coach, as you know, the 200 watchers that came down and created this mixture, these hybrids. Well, you know, interesting that all these witches were doing what in New York, the highest witches in not just New York, they were even doing it from Bali, Indonesia, the voodoo, the hoodoo. We're talking like in America, you don't really see it as much. But I will tell you that all over the world, they use marine spirits, they conjure up incantations. They're using this stuff to bind up Donald Trump. And nobody batted an eye over that, did they, Dave? So, of course, there's a lot of, you know, the fellow that was wearing the goat horns, you know, of course, that's symbolizing Baphomet. So there's no doubt there's definitely witches, wizards, warlocks, witch doctors that are practicing these pagan DC high ritual kinds of practices. There's no doubt in my mind.
Amen. Jeff, come on in.
Coach, a good example is just like all the years outside that strip club, we would pray prayers against that place, that demonic dark place, of just to crush them and to bring them down. And people thought, you guys are nuts. You're haters. You know, and but we're always trained up that we're not just conquerors. We're more than conquerors.
Jeff, what does that even mean? Folks, what does that even mean when you hear somebody say that we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us? More than a conqueror. Well, hey, Sheila, I'd be happy just being a conqueror, wouldn't you? That would be a good start. But he says you're more than conquerors. He said greater things you're going to do because I go to my Father. And we're playing patty cake in church, especially with spiritual warfare, we don't even understand. Sheila, I got to tell you a story. We just went to the Serpent Mound here in Ohio, and you had mentioned it earlier. When our show was over, I don't know if I can get it in here today or not. Sheila, we do an after show. Like when we're off here today, there's 107 people in what we call the queue right now that who can come in at any time and dialogue with us. When we got back, when we were doing the show about the Serpent Mounds, after the show was over, there was a lady in the queue who was, believe it or not, she identified herself as a Muslim. And she said that she was awakened at night because she had seen that serpent. She'd seen that thing. And she said it was a powerful snake and was all oily and powerful and slithering around. And then all of a sudden, the next thing she knew, she saw that the snake was dying and had been cut into pieces and was dying, and she couldn't figure out what's going on, where's this coming from. And Sheila, she searched all over the internet, and she found that we had gone to the Serpent Mounds, and she called in and she wanted us to know that she saw a Muslim. Sheila, she saw, wow, saw in the spirit realm that we had sliced and diced this snake and we had cut it into pieces. And she searched everywhere she could to find out who was responsible for that. And then we sit back and think, what? We did what? See, we don't understand it, do we? We don't understand the weapons of tear down, pluck up, root out. We don't get it.
Well, and the other thing is, I think something very interesting, that we were two or more, as the fella said earlier, agree on anything, it'll be done for you, it says, by your Father in heaven. For two or three that come together in his name, he is with us. So, you know, this is amazing to me that people don't understand. Amen. They came in one accord, even in Acts 2, in the upper room, they said they came in one accord. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the blood. Amen. There is power in agreement. So, I mean, when we prayer walk, I'm going to tell you, I did a lot of prayer walking in California and binding those groves and deal. I mean, that place is a pit of hell. It's got, you know, Hollywood, it's got Bohemian Grove, the Freemasons. I mean, it has got everything in that place. And I'll tell you, we did a lot of prayer walking the year that I was in California. And I saw a lot of changes. I was baptizing people right in the ocean, Coach. I mean, uh-huh. I wasn't waiting for churches to invite me to teach that. That one guy said to me, well, you can come and teach at my church, but just don't talk about demons. You know, when I was on CBN back in 2012 in Atlanta, Georgia, they wouldn't let me talk about demons either. So this is the problem, is that nobody really wants to talk about that because they don't understand that we're like SWAT team members, Navy SEAL, DEVGRU SEAL Team 6, Amen. Special Weapons and Tactical, if we really knew what to do with this, because those little prayers, like, you know, dear God, if you think it'll be, maybe if you could heal me. No, Jesus Christ wants us to be healed. The example is when the leper stretched out his hand, he said, "Be thou healed." It wasn't a matter of, well, let me think about it. I'll mull it over for a bit. Yeah, Coach, right. This is so ridiculous. Why are people so spiritually inept and biblically anemic? I really encourage people to get in their word, because, you know, what's happening is there's a mixture. And God sort of gave me this interesting analogy. If, Coach, if I was sitting across a restaurant from you and we were sipping a glass of, say, a cup of coffee or a glass of water, and I said, "Coach, I'm going to look at this little jar I have. I'm going to put a little drop of this poison in your drink, but it's 99% pure, your glass of water there. It's just one little drop." Now, if your wife, Michelle, had the grandbabies over and they're making some icing, say they want pink icing, there's a big batch of white icing. They put one little drop of that food coloring and Michelle stirs that in, that whole batch turns pink.
Yep.
You listen, the one little drop of poison has permeated the church. Now we got hashtag Christianity, the happy gospel. Yep. I mean, this is absolutely disgusting. That the other day I got an email, I don't know why I'm on this list, but I got an email from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. You know, Dave, that was the same exact four things that he sent out in 95. Mm. And it said, "This year, 2021, you're coming up higher." And you know what? Listen, nobody wants to talk about suffering and sacrificing and taking up your cross and great will be thy tribulation. Everybody wants to have happy gospel. You know, if it's not smooth, it's doom and gloom, Dave.
Amen. Hey, so Sheila, Dale, just a second, I'm going to bring you in. So Sheila, I'm going to make a great announcement here that's going to excite everybody. You're coming to Ohio to put on a spiritual warfare conference. We just have to decide when that's going to be. Is that good with you, Sheila?
Absolutely.
All right. Dale, come on in.
Well, glory, Coach. I appreciate the opportunity, Sheila. I'm enjoying listening to this. I'm sorry, but I live in the South, so skinny jeans are out of the question for what we eat down here.
He lives in New Orleans, so he fights those devils all the time, Sheila.
Oh, brother. Listen, brother, true testimony. You know, we cursed those grounds. We salted the land with Rusty Thomas, Bill Shanks, and I out at that Planned Parenthood. They built it, and they have not killed a baby in that place.
Amen.
Brother, that thing has been built. But here you go, Sheila, and I'm sure you understand this, and especially in the spiritual warfare. We, even ourselves, are so busy to tell God our problems. And we're talking to God, "Oh, God, this problem, this, oh, God, do this, this." But the Lord said this. He not only said it in the book of Mark, but he also said it to Moses when Moses' back was up against the Red Sea. He says, "Why are you telling me this?" He said, "Turn around, take your staff and raise it, and you will see the hand of the Lord." Now, in Mark chapter 11, 21, and Peter says, "Rabbi, behold the fig tree which you have cursed." And Jesus said, "Have faith in God, truly." When he says truly, you better have your ears perked up. He says, "Whoever saith unto this mountain, be taketh up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he has said, it's going to happen." God's saying, quit telling me your problems. Begin to tell your problems about me. And the enemy will flee several others.
Well, it's really interesting that you just mentioned Exodus 14 that I mentioned at the beginning of the program. Actually, the way God said it to Moses was, "Why are you coming to me with this?" The scripture says. He literally said, it's like if I went up to you, Dave, and I said, "Why are you coming to me with this? Did I say that I would move your mountain? I've given you the rod of authority, Moses." And so what did he do? We've been given the rod of authority, but we're not exercising our authority, our power, our dominion, our inheritance. Dave, if I told you you had an inheritance, you'd be down at that lawyer, well, probably all of us, in a heartbeat. I know I would. So why are Christians living so far beneath their privilege of what Jesus really died to give us? Look at 1 John 3:8 and Exodus 14. So we want to talk about living victoriously, but I'm telling you right now, there's many people right now that are hopped up on pharmakia. Lord help us if anybody got rounded up in a FEMA camp. So, you know, think about this. If I was a witch, and somebody mentioned the occult earlier, if I was a witch and I was going to recruit Dave into my coven, I mean, I would be teaching you, Dave, the first day, your power and authority and dominion. Why are we not being taught it in church, our dominion?
Oh, it's shameful. It's shameful. Hey, listen, Joe Silver, I want you to get ready. Spencer, I want you to go to the link that shows, hang on a second here. Let me make sure. Deliverance prayers. And I want you to scroll down to the prayer about against chaos in the land. Click on that. Spirits operating behind chaos in the land. Hey, Silver.
Yes, sir.
Will you read this for us, brother? Folks, this is the kind of stuff that Sheila does. You've got to get her book. You can get it online here. So listen, let's be honest, all right? Sometimes we don't know what to pray. Sometimes we don't know how to pray. And Sheila has put together this powerful prayer on the prayer against chaos in the land. There is chaos in the land, is there not? And Sheila, we have Joe Silver do this because he has the million-dollar voice. And when he dies, he's already willed his voice to me. So go ahead, Joseph, if you would, go ahead and pray there.
Father, your word tells us of six things you hate in Proverbs 6. And the seventh you not only hate, but you call it an abomination, hands that shed innocent blood. We come humbly to your throne to repent, first for ourselves, then for the church, our nation, and the world for the shedding of innocent blood. Forgive us for having allowed the atrocity of this abomination to take place in our land, including the shedding of innocent blood through abortion. Thank you for giving us authority, dominion, and power over all the power of the enemy, from Luke 10:19, because we are seated in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We raise up our rod of authority and bring this situation to your throne. In the mighty name of Jesus, we come against every principality, power, throne, ruler spirit, might, and dominion, all spirits of death and destruction, especially those spirits assisting or fueling the chaos and the racial divide in our land. Call out the following and command these spirits to go. All spirits of death, all fear spirits, all rebellion and lawless spirits, all spirits behind insurgent tearing up neighborhoods, all Leviathan spirits, all spirits of generational pain, shouldering the burdens of the past, iniquity of the forebearers and forefathers, historical trauma, tribal rituals, familiar spirits, supernatural spiritual insurgents tearing up neighborhoods, the spirits of the plantation, the spirits of Willie Lynch, witchcraft mayhem, chaos witchcraft, supernatural tribal spirits and spirits behind race riots and racial divide, cumulative emotional and psychological wounding, general massive group trauma, intergenerational response to trauma, depression, self-destructive behavior, psychic numbing, anger and elevated mortality rates, unresolved grief and impaired mourning, massive loss, defiling, doubt and unbelief, divination spells and incantations, hexes, vexes, hoodoo and voodoo, thwarting spirits, distortion, thought forms, egregore spirits, all mass mind, psychic mind prayer, witchcraft mind control with lying spirits, mind control, antichrist spirit, Leviathan, Abaddon, Apollyon, spirits of oppression, all familiar spirits, tormenting evil ties, prince of the power of the air, and all associated spirits, spirits behind the blood crying out. Father, we ask for your angels to close all portals. We bind all spirits of witchcraft mayhem, witchcraft chaos, division and discord, the strong man of divide and conquer. We come against all spirits of communism, fascism, socialism, antichrist spirits, all race war, race baiting, racial divide in Jesus' name. We bind and break the power of the spirit of death, destruction, disruption, clamorous protest, violence, hostility, and bring to naught every evil practitioner of the kingdom of darkness, including evil practitioners, those behind Antifa, BLM groups, etc. We loose civil war in the enemy camp. Paul declared blindness upon the agents of darkness in Acts 13:6-11. We too declare blindness upon all those fueling mayhem in our country. We decree they will grope about as one in darkness, so their plans will not be carried out. We thank you that all their evil deeds are being arrested right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We loose peace and love and a sound mind now. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, amen and amen.
Wow! Jesus.
Amen.
Now I lay me down to sleep, right? Now I lay me down to sleep. Come on in, John Diamond. Wow, Sheila, that's all. Folks, get the book. You can get it right there on Sheila's website, Power Prayers, Warfare That Works. And so you can just, sometimes you don't know what to pray. She's written them down for you in different levels. And you can get, it's amazing. Come on in, John. I'm sorry.
Morning, Coach. How are you doing?
Great.
Hey, I would definitely like to talk with Sheila more. I'll probably be at the conference there in Ohio. Her book and my Appeal to Heaven book seem to go hand in hand.
Yes, sir.
I want to say this just to the entire queue. Is I've been teaching with not only your queue on imprecatory prayer, but the congregation that I attend, and they did not get it, man. The light came on for them yesterday morning because they're looking at the world and they're seeing the evil out there. And I told them, I said, the two biggest lies that the church has accepted is that God loves everybody and we're all God's children. If you believe those two lies, then you're not going to pray imprecatory prayer, because why would you pray God's judgment down on people that are your family?
Amen. I said, amen.
Understand that God hates sinners, and that, you know, Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. Once you understand that from the Garden of Eden, there's been two genealogical lines, the children of God and the children of the devil, started with Cain and Abel. The wicked always seek to kill the righteous. They killed every prophet. They killed Christ. They killed Stephen. I mean, right through history, the children of the devil always seek to kill the children of God. And when you understand that, then you understand why imprecatory prayer is so important, because we're not supposed to grab guns and go out and avenge ourselves, but we are commanded by Christ in Luke 18 that we are to pray that he avenges us. So, I mean, Daniel wasn't weeping over the people that got thrown in the lion's den, because they committed conspiracy to commit murder on an innocent. So when these wicked people tried to kill an innocent man, he sat in that prayer and in that lion's den. I guarantee you he was praying like Psalms 5. It says, destroy them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out, for they have rebelled against you. And then God saw that they were destroyed. So the power of imprecatory prayer is something that we really need to get a hold of. And, I mean, your queue gets a hold of it. The congregation I go to now gets a hold of it. We need to get the rest of the nation. I'm getting ready to teach an entire series. I'm going to break down every imprecatory prayer one by one in each teaching and teach why God gave those in the Holy Spirit. So I appreciate this morning's show, Coach. I appreciate Sheila. I'd definitely like to talk to you outside of the queue.
Okay, yeah. So Sheila, I was thinking as John was expounding there, you know, that Gideon's army, how did Gideon's army win? Folks, think about this now. How did Gideon's army win? They shined light and they made noise, didn't they? And what happened? Confusion came into the enemy's camp. And Sheila, till I read that prayer, I had never ever thought of that we need to pray that spirit of confusion into the enemy's camp. Come on in, Sheila.
Yeah, and you know, speaking of Gideon, God didn't need 30,000 mindless AMC's Walking Dead zombie apocalypse mindless minions either, did he? He needed 300 serious men that were pressed into the things of God. And absolutely, you can lose confusion in the enemy camp. And that's the thing, you know, judgment starts in the house of the Lord. He didn't say, I'm going to judge the pagans, the Wiccans, you know, fill in the blank. he said judgment starts in the house of the Lord. You know, Charles Finney, you know this, Dave, the famed 19th century revivalist. What did he say? When Satan rules in our legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. And so we need to really, really step up our game. I mean, this is absolutely unbelievable what is happening. But I will tell you one thing. I'm going to ask people to, I did a 21-day fast just before Christmas. I'm going to ask you something. You know, Jesus said, he didn't say, if you fast, he said, when you fast, fast like this. And I really believe fasting along with spiritual warfare is incredibly powerful. You know, fast, I really believe it's about food. And I really believe that if people would even just take a 3-day fast or pick a day this week and fast, but, you know, really do that, because when you lower the, you know, the, it's almost like the flesh subsides and the spirit man can really, it really comes up. And I think that's so powerful in conjunction with scripture based prayer. And, you know, we're not promised tomorrow, Dave. Jesus said, pray like this, give us our daily bread. We should be praying daily and doing warfare daily. We're not even promised tomorrow. You know, yeah, we get it. We got to pay rent and we got to deal in this world. We're not of this world, but Jesus himself said, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, there's a lot of anxious, fearful, frustrated Christians out there. We've had COVID all year. There is so much going on with this demon tech, I call it, this Luciferous. And it dawned on me the other day when I was doing that demon tech show, Lucifer race, all right. It's a race of Luciferians. Lucifer wants to create his own race. Yeah. And we are made in the image of God. And of course, Satan wants to make his troops in the image of God. He tried that with the Nephilim and he didn't achieve that. But I mean, Lebensborn, the Nazi breeding program's got nothing on what they want to do with this demon tech, with this COVID vaccine. And so I just really also urge these folks, do not even think of taking that devilish mRNA, the DNA altering. You know, it's interesting that there's life in the blood, isn't there? You know, when you look at the recombinant DNA and the bioluminescence, and I'll tell you what, when that demon tech expose comes out, Coach, I'll have to shoot it off to you, because it's going to be, I guarantee no one will take that vaccine after watching this. Amen. And, boy, oh boy, we've got to really seek ye first the kingdom and all these other things, folks. Either the Bible's true, Dave, or it's not.
Hey, Spencer, real quick, click on at the top there. It says books. Books. If, yeah, brother, click right there. Folks, here's the book that I'm talking about. Sheila wrote a powerful book called The Green Gospel. And I mean, it's good. She was all over, you know, the whole global warming thing. But here's the book that I'm referring to. Go back, Spencer, if you will, go there. Power Prayers, folks. Power Prayers. And it covers just about everything, every subject you could ever want. And if you sometimes want to pray more, don't know what to pray about, there it is. You can buy it on Amazon. Power Prayers. I highly recommend that. And also, it's a great way to be able to support Sheila and her work. Great. Rochelle, real quickly. Come on in.
I'll make it quick. Thanks. So I had been doing some reading and I had read that the rider on the white horse, that bow, that word that they used for bow was a bad translation. And it was actually, I don't know, taxon or something, which means toxic. Have you ever heard that study before? Because if so, that would really open up to this poison they're trying to pump in our bodies through a messenger DNA, which messenger is the same word for angel. Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? That's very true. It's a fallen angel, devil DNA is really what's in it. Mm. And, you know, I think at some point you have to ask yourself, if your DNA changes, at what point, Dave, do we become, well, not human, and so therefore unsanctioned humans? That's why God wiped them out in the flood. I mean, this is days of Noah 2.0 on the horizon. So let's be doing warfare against that.
Naomi or Tim, jump in here. Last one. Come on in.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, is there a way to get a hold of these outside of Amazon? Because we're not doing Amazon.
Sheila, is there someplace else to get your book?
They can just send me an email and I can send them when. I know that, sadly, I'm not a book warehouse, so sadly, Amazon owns everything, Dave.
That's right. It's getting worse and worse and worse. Well, Sheila, God, man, this was a fast, fast hour. And sure, I appreciate you getting up so early out there, and we'll let you go back to take a little nap or whatever, Sheila. We're going to have you at Ohio. I'll give you a call, and we'll figure out when we're going to get you. We're going to do a spiritual warfare conference because, Sheila, we have a growing audience who really, 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 they really want to be powerful Christians. And the truth of the matter is we just haven't been trained. We don't know what we're supposed to do. And you have fallen into a pool of people who are really like-minded and like-hearted with you. So we appreciate the time that you've given with us. And as we sign off, Sheila, don't hang up right away because I want to talk to you right after the show. Here, okay.
Sounds
hey,
good.
God bless you. Hey, folks, listen, cast not away your confidence, for it has great recompense of reward. Don't waver. Don't fall with everything that's going on around us. God's on the throne. Christ is on the throne. Great things are going to happen right in our midst. God bless you all. Thank you, Sheila. We'll see you all tomorrow.